You're listening to True Stories Told Live. Welcome to Speakeasy, where our tellers get on stage with their whole, authentic, beautifully human selves and speak their experience. No notes, just the memory of a life lived. On our stage, you'll hear humor, hope, embarrassment, disappointment, grief, lust, anger, love, remembrance, the whole brilliant and nuanced spectrum of what it is to live as individuals in community with others. Here at Speakeasy, our incredibly gracious audience holds all of it, sighing together, laughing together, crying together, and cheering our hearts out together. There's a symbiotic thing we've got going here between our tellers and our listeners, where each person creates that sacred space that just unflinchingly holds each other's stories, where we bear bits of our souls and bear witness. Join us the first Thursday of every month in Columbus, Ohio, at 7 p.m., where we gather at Wild Goose Creative, nestled in amongst the gallery's newest art exhibit. With a simple theme as inspiration, 10 tellers sign up, brave up, step up in front of a microphone, and get honest. What you're about to hear is one of those stories.
So here's how this is going to go. I'm going to confess some things. I'm going to tell you an unbelievable fact about kittens. We're going to sing a little folk song together. All those things are going to connect. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
So when I was a youngin', elementary school, didn't have a lot of friends, persisted through middle school, high school. I remember being in the lunchroom and just watching people, you know, swim past my table like great schools of fish, right? You're in an elementary school, middle school, high school. You're a queer kid in a wheelchair. Nobody really wants to make time for you. And the few people that do, they come up to you and they start speaking real slow. Hey, buddy. How's your day been? And it's just, you feel like you're in the Truman Show a little bit. Kind of insufferable. But I had a foolproof two-step plan to get past this when I was in college. Step one, easily achievable. I was going to just know everything. Just, if I knew everything from, like, the history of, you know, what goes in our kitchens and why, and computer programming, all this other stuff, then nobody could talk to me like I was stupid. And the equally achievable second part of my plan was to just be effortlessly charming all of the time and never have a bad thought. No problem with this plan whatsoever, right? Go to college, there is a stand-up comedy night that first week, and I think, okay, I've done stand-up before. And one of the things you get good about is, you know, if you can make fun of yourself, that sort of diffuses the tension in other people. If you can joke about, you know, your sex life and your mortality, and the fact that you've never taken a shower alone in your life, like that. It's happening now. People are giggling. Everybody's a little less tense. Isn't that great, right? And so I go up, I do my little stand-up situation. Everybody's so much more comfortable. And my roommate and I had a big dorm because of all the equipment that I had to put into it. So we could fit like 30 people in that freshman dorm. So we would just pile people and have these big, you know, movie nights and game nights and whatever. I was hiding something from my new friends, though. And the thing that I was hiding, so I have cerebral palsy. That's not the thing that I was hiding. Obviously, pretty obvious that there's something going on there. But cerebral palsy comes from your cerebellum being damaged, this magical little nut-sized part here at the back of your brain. And I've figured out from painstaking research and my quest to know everything, that part of your brain is also next to the part of your brain that makes mental maps, that sort of tells you where the fuck you are and where the fuck you're going, right? I even just down my sidewalk at home, once I make one turn, no idea where the fuck I am. Just, and I realize everybody says, oh, I have a terrible sense of direction. I have like a medically terrible sense of direction. Like however bad you're thinking it is, it's worse. Like so much worse. I actually did some digging in this. They did an experiment ages and ages ago in a science lab where they took kittens, like little miniature cats, and they never let their feet touch the ground. They were birthed in this sort of like whirling contraption that's almost like a carousel. And those kittens, to use a scientific term, were just fucked. They had never had any idea where they were. So then I started thinking, okay, when my feet never touch the ground, when I'm always in this chair, no intuitive sense of direction whatsoever. And then at the same time, so we're kind of rounding the end of my freshman year, people are comfortable making jokes that I don't necessarily want them to be comfortable making, right? They kind of feel like they're closer to me than I feel like we are. And also, when you haven't had friends and suddenly you have all these friends, you get a big dopamine rush and you're not really choosy. You're just like, wow, people around me that are paying attention to me. This is great, right? So it comes time to move me out of the freshman dorm into the upper class dorms. And the upper class dorms, little town called Gambier, Ohio, more Amish people than cars, it's great. The upper class dorms are kind of like these Stepford Wives style milk cartons kind of in the middle of campus, these freestanding buildings. And especially when it gets dark out, they all look fucking identical. There was a brief period of time where the administration thought that they weren't going to be able to make one of those milk cartons accessible for me. So I go around to all these friends that I'm already kind of not feeling so hot about, and I'm like, hey, who wants to stay in the freshman dorm with me potentially sophomore, junior, senior year? And it turns out no one, which is already kind of triggering those kind of long-term feelings of rejection that I've just based it in from being that lonely first grader sitting alone at lunch. But finally, 11th hour, they grant me an accessible sophomore milk carton, right? And all these people who didn't want to give me the time of day for weeks suddenly want to move in with me. So I let them, and it's not even like there's no big falling out or anything. We just kind of, I casually find myself wanting to be there less and less. But obviously, fun part, I'm in a completely different location on campus now. And remember, my brain can't do that GPS thing of recalculating route. Like, if I don't go the same way every time, I don't get, like, nervous about it. I just have no idea where the hell I am, right? So I'm suddenly in this new place on campus. I'm not feeling all of the people that I've been living with at this time. It's late at night, I get back from the dining hall, and I have parked myself in front of the wrong identical milk carton, exposing my complete lack of a sense of direction, right? And instead of being like, who the fuck is this kid? The guy that lives there opens his door, and he wants to teach me this really elaborate European board game that has like 90 pages of rules, and it's already like 10:30 at night, and you're like, are we really doing this? But he also, here's where a little bit of audience participation can come in. He also, because I'm worried out of my mind, I'm starting to think, okay, I don't want the rest of my college experience to necessarily be entirely with this first group of friends. But I also don't want this guy, this new guy who I kind of like, to know that I don't know where the hell I am. I don't want him to think that I'm stupid. He can tell I'm nervous and jumpy. So he shows me this folk song, right? I heard the Oscar Isaac version first. There's also some other people that have done it. But my favorite verse of it, I'm going to teach it to you. It's very important. Cultural inheritance here, right? Goes, ooka dooka, soda cracker. Does your mama chew tobacco? If your mama chews tobacco, ooka dooka, soda cracker, right? So completely, obviously not the smart, highfalutin thing that I expected to armor myself with in college. But the last verse of the folk song just asks, tell me who you love, tell me who you love. And so I start thinking, as I meet the people who I still talk to this day, 5-6 years later, that finding out who you love, finding out who you care about, not just who's there, but who you're going to be able to sort of be yourself around and breathe around, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to be able to tell. I'm sure if we all think right now in our own minds, there's somebody in our life who we're not quite sure if we love enough yet. We're not quite sure if we're able to be our whole selves around them. But in that moment, playing that obscure board game, I start knowing, okay, I want to be with these people. And then they walk me back to my apartment. They say goodnight. And I finally know where I am.